Tonight we want to conclude our series on spiritual warfare that we began last August. This is the 21st message in that series. And tonight we want to look at overcoming Satan and demonic spirits. In other words, we're not going to be speaking just in terms of religious spirits, but all demonic spirits. As you know, when Satan fell, described in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, the most important passages in the Bible, Satan had been Lucifer, light bringer, over the very throne of God, one of the most beautiful of the angels, and apparently one of the ones that had one of the great authority, some of the greatest authority that God had given. And then he rebelled. And I'm fond of saying Satan is not an atheist. He is a rebeller. He knows who God is. He knows who Jesus is. But he has rebelled. A third of the angels fell to become demons. And we began this series by talking about some of the levels of warfare. I will close tonight by telling you how to pray for yourself and for your family so that there are offensive things we need to do, there are defensive things we need to do as far as spiritual warfare and as far as overcoming. But I want to begin tonight in the book of Revelation because, and I want to read briefly from a few verses in each one of the letters to the seven churches. This is what the Holy Spirit and what Jesus spoke to John. Now John, it was in 90 AD when John was on the Isle of Patmos that he received this. He had been persecuted, he had been captured, he had been boiled in oil by the Emperor Domitian, and God raised him from the dead. And so John was preserved, his life was preserved, so that he could receive this revelation. This is, in a sense, the letter of Jesus. And it is the letter of Jesus to the church. There are seven churches here, but they're all in Asia, and they're all as the early part of the church, anointed by the Spirit of God, a part of the Ecclesia. We've talked about the Ecclesia several times. The Ecclesia is the true body where the power of God is moving. It's not a denomination, it's not a building, it's where the power of God is moving. As people believe in faith, receive the Word of God. And here is what Jesus spoke. Now, some years ago, I remember when I first read about the seven churches, I read a theory that these were seven stages of history. I believe this is not the case. It doesn't fit very well. But I do believe, well, I know, that seven is the number for completion. And so I believe there are seven things spoken for the church that is to be unified. Seven is the number for unity and completion. So this letter, the whole letter to all the seven churches, is Jesus speaking. But I want you to notice, because I'm going to read verses that will highlight this, how to overcome. Now, overcome is a Greek word, nikeo, which means to overcome and to conquer. To conquer completely. God wants us to be able in Christ to conquer Satan completely. He does not want us to cower in fear. He does not want us to receive what Satan does. He wants us to take the offensive against him and to know what we need to do that. Now, I begin in the church at Ephesus, the first church listed, and I will read here just two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, I remind you of what we spoke before, but I need to mention this again. Because Jesus, if we are going to overcome and become overcomers, he is pointing to the Nicolaitans as a key to what we need to overcome. I have pointed out that this is from Nicholas, which his name is Nikeo Laos. So, we need to overcome Nikeo. Nicholas, the doctrine of Nicholas, Nikeo Laos, the overcomers of the people. We need to overcome the overcomers of the people, of the people of God. We need to overcome a church structure, a denominational structure, a professional clergy structure dominating the laity and keeping the laity down so that they will not rise up to receive the anointing of God. Because God is calling. God told me this, I don't know how many years ago. He said, son, I'm going to call the nobodies of the world
It isn't just the stars. It isn't just the ministers. It isn't just the evangelists. It isn't just the people who have been called so that people know. It is the people who nobody knows. I'm calling all of my people. He's calling you. He's calling you. And he's calling you to overcome. And so you must learn how to overcome. What the enemy brings with this doctrine of Nicholas, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is to conquer the people so that the people listen to the people in charge of the denomination and Christians who are in charge, but don't get into the Word themselves and don't act on the Word themselves. You are to get into the Word yourself and to act on the Word yourself. This is the way we overcome. If the whole body, if this whole body right here, everyone would get into the Word themselves, get it in their hearts, and we would join together, we could conquer anything that the enemy does. But you can't do it when you are underneath someone who allows, and this is the other part of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, compromise to enter in. Doctrinal compromise that does not go with the Word of God. I can hardly believe, the older I get, the more I see. It's incredible to me how the people of God don't read the Word of God. They don't read and study the Word of God. They don't know what the Word of God says. They think they do, but they don't. And so God wants us to understand that if we're going to be overcomers, we've got to overcome this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which pushes down the people. He doesn't want you to be pushed down. He wants you to be under the authority of Jesus. Under the authority of Jesus. Now, to him, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now this will be repeated in all seven, but I'm going to read it every time. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You cannot overcome this Spirit or any of these other things unless you hear what the Spirit is speaking. And you cannot hear what the Spirit is speaking unless you're first baptized in the, well, first saved, then baptized in the Holy Spirit, then moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You must hear from the Holy Spirit, or you will not overcome. You will not overcome the spirit of the Nicolaitans or any other spirit. To him who overcomes, Nikao, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. All right, the second church, Smyrna. There are two verses I want to read here, verses 10 and 11. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. 10 days stands for a short period of time. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Here, you cannot overcome unless you learn to overcome the fear of death and the threat of death. It is coming, people. Already in China, already in North Korea, already in many nations in the world. To receive Christ is to receive a threat of death. I remember praying in Kazakhstan, and there were 12 women there. 6 of them wanted to receive Christ. 4 of them immediately, after I taught on the communion, said they would receive Christ. 2 of them hesitated, and Gulia, who I met again later, 3 years later, but she wept and wept and wept, and she said, my husband is a Muslim, and he says that he will kill me if I pray to receive Christ. And so she spent about 5 minutes weeping and praying, and she finally said through her tears, I want to receive Christ. And all 6 of them, as they took communion for the first time, the first time I ever led people to take communion. And as they took communion, they received Christ. What a perfect way. And I met her later, and she had been separated from her husband. But God was working in his heart, and he didn't kill her. And working in his heart so that I know now, I don't know exactly what's happened to him, but I know that their marriage has been restored. And so she is a Christian, and she's spirit-filled, and she's moving. But we have got, listen, let me tell you something. If you will allow the Holy Spirit of God to overcome a fear of death, there is not one thing the devil can do to you. There is not one threat that the enemy, the worst thing the devil can do to you is to bring physical death. But God won't allow that unless He is ready to allow. There'll be martyrs, and God will allow and does allow some to be martyred. But many will be divinely protected under the anointing of the Spirit. In fact, there is coming a greater anointing and a greater protection and a greater move of the Holy Spirit of God directly through the angelic forces coming down on the earth to be involved in the ministry and the preaching of the ministry and the protection of His people. Some will be martyred. But if you will not fear death, fear of death is the key fear. And fear is the key negative emotion. Every negative emotion is related to fear. And fear of death is the deepest fear. Hebrews 2 says, we are all our lifetime subject to bondage to fear, even the fear of death, but that Jesus has come to set us free. And so you will become an overcomer as you allow Jesus to deliver you from any fear of death. And only Jesus can do it. And only Jesus can do it as you believe by faith. It's not going to be your resolution. I'm not going to fear. It's not your resolution. It is only as you believe, as you surrender, as you die to yourself and come alive to His life. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You've got to hear from the Spirit again. You've got to hear from the Spirit. It is the only way. And you won't know how. I remember a missionary telling how, in one case, the Holy Spirit said, hide from the people who were trying to arrest him because they wanted to arrest him and kill him. In another time, there were communist guerrillas, and this was somewhere in the Far East. I don't remember where. It might have been in the Philippines. But the Holy Spirit led him to confront them in the name of Jesus, and they never touched him, and He gave them a witness. So that when you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, but you don't know what you're supposed to do, and you don't know what you're supposed to speak, it says in another place, but the Holy Spirit will give you what you are to speak. That's when you will overcome. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. See, the second death is the only thing that we need to fear. Because if you die, if you are born twice, you will only die once. But if you're only born physically once, you will die twice. And the second death is that hell is cast into the lake of fire, and the Satan is cast there, all of his people are cast there, and are cast into the lake of fire, and they are separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. No way to get back, and people in hell are crying out now. Oh, I remember reading a book about a person who was given by God into hell and went with the Lord. And she said she went with the Lord through hell. And people were crying out, former Christians who had sinned and who had fallen away from the faith, crying out. And there was no way. Jesus couldn't help them anymore. There's no more shedding of blood. There's no more sacrifice. That's what to fear, the second death only. Our physical life doesn't mean really anything. Now, the third, Pergamum, verse 14. I have a few things against you because you have there some who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who kept Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel and to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit acts of immorality. Now, notice that, as we said here maybe it was last week, I know I went back over this, but the doctrine of Balaam is the same thing because notice in verse 15, thus you also have some in the same way hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans, and Nicholas in Greek is Balaam in Hebrew, and so it's the same doctrine of trying to control the common people, but notice, what do they introduce in the common people inside the church? What does this doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans introduce? Acts of immorality. Particularly sexual immorality, as we spoke of last time. Sexual immorality. And so this is one of the great things that we will have to overcome. This doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which not only keeps the people down, but introduces error and introduces compromise and introduces corruption, and particularly corruption as in sexual immorality. Notice, and this is a key, if we do not learn how to continually repent. Yes, I know that before you're saved, you have to repent. That's true. That's John the Baptist's doctrine. You've got to repent. You've got to turn, willfully turn away from your sin and towards God. You will it. You're not just sorry for your sin. You determine, and you will. See, your will. Listen, people. The most important part of who you are, other than your spirit, in your soulish man, you have your will, your mind, your emotions, is your will. It's your will. Every part of every step of faith you take, it begins with your will. And you will the will of God. And when you will the will of God, you don't change your will. God doesn't change His will, and you are not to change your will. And so God wants us to understand that this doctrine of the Balaam and the Nicolaitans introduces this heresy, introduces corruption. Repent from it, therefore, Jesus says, or else I will be coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of in my mouth. With the sword of the word in my mouth. He's going to make war against those who introduce this. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He's going to make war against this. And you better be on the side of God if you want to overcome. You need to become a warrior with your will set to the will of God, full of the Word of God, resolute, made resolute by God. When you have the will of God, when you have the Word of God, it will make you bold, and you will not fear death, and you will not fear what the enemy can do. You cannot get involved in overcoming spirit powers and overcoming Satan if you fear anything. You must not fear. And God will deliver you from fear. And to overcome, you must. But you've got to repent. Repent. Anything that's in your life, ask God, repent. Turn from it. Any impurity in your life, turn from it, because God wants to purify you so that He can move through you. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Ask the Holy Spirit every day. Ask the Holy Spirit every day. Is there something, Lord, I need to repent of? Now, don't be worried or fearful. Don't let the enemy accuse you and falsely accuse you and get to the place where, well, I don't know, maybe I sinned here, maybe I sinned. God will let you know. Don't let some imagining in your mind or something the enemy puts there. I mean, you go to God and you ask God, God, do I need to repent here? Is there something here that I need to repent? God will show you. But don't let the enemy deceive you here, because you can get to the place where you are like a hypochondriac who's constantly got a disease. You can get to the place where you constantly are, I wonder if I've sinned here. I wonder if I've sinned there. No. Take the Word of God. Act on the Word of God. Let God show you. God will show you. But don't let the enemy fool you here. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give a white stone and a new name written on that stone which no one knows but he who receives it. We're going to receive a new name. Now, Thyatira is next. Verse 24. Thyatira. I say to you, and the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, and who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast to until I come. Now, what you have that you can hold fast to is only what God has promised. There's nothing in this world that you have that you will hold fast to. It is only those things which God has created in heaven as promises that He will make true and come to pass in your life. And you hold fast to the Word of God and to the promises of the Word of God. That's the only thing you can hold fast to. That's the only thing that's eternal, because it's one with Jesus. But notice, repent from the deep things of Satan and don't get deceived by the deep things of Satan. Listen, I don't know all that that means, but I do know that the heart of satanic worship is witchcraft, divination, and sorcery, and I do know that it's being revived all around the world. And it's being revived in America. And so God wants you. You don't have to fear the deep things of Satan. You don't have to fear anything that Satan does. But don't go into the midst of the deep things of Satan to minister or to pray deliverance or to come to help someone who is in the throes of that unless God sends you. Unless God sends you. You need to pray. Now, God will send you. See, our church is fleet of the suburbs. Well, that's not the place. What is the greatest need? What place in America has the greatest need? Our cities. It's our cities where sin has the greatest grip. And God wants to send, and Jesus is going to send us into the city. In fact, the preaching, when Paul preached, he preached mostly in the cities. These seven churches were in large cities. Some of the largest churches, some of the largest cities in Asia. Some of the largest cities in the world. And God wants to send us into those places where there are the deep things of Satan, but only when we are prayer prepared. Only when we are moving in the Spirit. And at the time, He says. And in the way, He says. So we've got to do this, but we can't just boldly go without the Lord speaking to us and showing, and when we're ready, so that we have, one thing I know, we have to be full of the Word of God. We have to be full of prayed up. I mean, keep prayed up. Keep looking, waiting, and watching, and listening for what God is saying, because He wants to make you an overcomer. Now, the next is Sardis, verse 3, chapter 3. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it. And what you have received is from Christ, is through the Word, is from Jesus. Keep it, but keep repenting. Here's repenting again. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it, I don't know, several years ago, the Lord said, keep repenting, keep forgiving, keep rejoicing. Keep repenting, keep forgiving, keep rejoicing. And just make this a lifestyle. You won't be prepared unless you keep repenting, keep forgiving, keep rejoicing. You rejoice because God the Father has covenanted with the Son and the Holy Spirit to bring total victory, total salvation against the enemy and all that he can do. Verse 4, wake up. Now, if you're going to be an overcomer, you got to wake up. And it means that you've got to be alert, to be made alert by the Holy Spirit of God. And you've got to be a watchman in prayer. You've got to be a watchman in prayer. You've got to be a watchman over your house. Ask God, over your family. Ask God what's happening. You've got to be a watchman over your city. You need to be a watchman over your state, a watchman over your nation. What do we need to repent of? We have to collectively repent. Even for things that we are not responsible for. We need to repent for the church. We need to repent for our city. We need to repent for our state. We need to repent. Because there are levels that we've talked about. There are demonic levels over all these areas, over territorial areas, as well as over us. But we don't have to worry about that. In fact, if we would concentrate on the overcoming, we wouldn't have to worry one whit. In fact, you shouldn't ever worry. It's a sin to worry. And God doesn't want you to worry about physical things, and God doesn't want you to worry about spiritual warfare, and God doesn't want you to worry about the end, and God doesn't want you to worry about persecution, and God doesn't want you to worry about anything that's going to happen in the future, because He's got it under control, and He will use you under the anointing, under His anointing. And he says about that in verse 4, I have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. To him who overcomes, they'll be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase their name from the book of life. Hallelujah. Is your name written on the book of life? Is your name written on the book of life? You can know.
It's a shame. There are people in Christian churches, and they don't know that they know that they know that they're born again. They don't know that they're already in the kingdom, and their name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And you need to know. You need to know.
It's 60%. 60% of church-going people, according to this survey, did not know for certain whether they were saved or not.
I don't know whether the people on the CD could hear, but Ron said there's 60% of the people in this survey said they did not know whether they were saved.
And they were church people, not street.
Yeah. And then I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You need to hear what the Spirit... Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying? Are you hearing? Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice, they hear my voice. You shouldn't be relying on your pastor to hear.
No.
You shouldn't be relying on me to hear.
No.
You shouldn't be relying on someone. It's all right. And when someone else hears from God and speaks, and that's why we make tapes, and you can take that and you can pray about that, but you, it needs to be made alive to your heart.
Yes.
See, one of the passions of my life, that's why I'm still doing this, is because I want to raise up people, young people, old people, whoever, but people who love God, who know God, who hear God's voice, so that they can be led by the Holy Spirit of God, so that they can hear the voice of God. And you cannot, there's no easy way. You've got to spend time with the Lord. And God has to teach you. Don't have time to teach on how to hear tonight. But God wants to teach you how to hear His voice. Philadelphia, verse 10. Because you have kept my word. Because you have kept my word. The word of my perseverance. You're not going to persevere under persecution. You're not going to persevere under pressure. See, affliction and persecution that the enemy sends in the parable of the sower and the seed is when you get the word of God and you have the word of God and you know what God says and you know that you believe, and then the enemy will send persecution and affliction. And persecution is to get you to flee from what? The word of God. And put a pressing pressure on you to do what? To flee from the word of God. You will never overcome unless you're filled with the word of God. You've got to keep the word of God, but you've got to know the word of God. You need it in your heart. You can't just have it up here. You've got to get it up here before you get it down here. But I mean, so get it up here, yes, in your head. But then after it's in your head, you've got to let the Holy Spirit speak to you so it's in your heart. James says, receive the word implanted. That means engrafted. I mean, when you engraft something, it engrafts right into the life, just like a branch is engrafted into a tree, and the life flows out of the tree into that branch, and it branch and fruit is produced. And so the word is to be engrafted in you so it will produce what it says to flow through your life, because it's His life that's in your life. And those lives are joined together, and you come together. Hallelujah. I will also keep you from the hour of testing. If you stay in the Word of God, He'll keep you from the great hour of testing. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have any persecution, but there is coming a great, great hour of testing. I believe it will be that 3.5 years of the greatest of the greatest of the tribulation. And He will keep you from that. If you are in the Word of God, if you are in the Word, if you are keeping the Word, if you are persevering, God loves it when you simply will not let go of His Word. You know it, and you know it's in your heart, and you will not let go no matter how much affliction, persecution, desire for other things, deceitfulness of riches, no matter what the enemy sends, no matter how he tries to wear you out and wear you down and attack you with sickness and attack you with this and attack you with that and attack your mind. Listen, we have got to learn. We have got to learn how to walk in greater faith for physical healing. I'm not against doctors or medicine, but we have simply got to learn how to walk more in faith. There will come a day, and a lot of Christians are there right now. That's what the pastor in China told me. He said, the people where I go in China, they don't have any medical treatment available.
And he told me about two different villages where they'd had people raised from the dead. You know why we don't, for the most part, don't see, sometimes we see great miracles of healing, but we don't see too many great miracles of healing, especially people being raised from the dead. We can rely on our medical doctors too much.
Yeah.
The problem is the faith goes there. It's not that they're wrong. It's that, I mean, God wants to use medicine. But the faith goes there. Subtly, it's more faith in what the doctor says. I see Christians that you know, they believe in faith, what God wants to do, but when it comes down, push comes to shove, they won't violate anything the doctor says. Well, now, where is the faith? Is it with a medical doctor or is it with God? I mean, you should not... I would be dead today if I'd listened to what the doctor said about the cancer I had 27 years ago. And the Lord said, I don't want you to go to take medical treatment for this. And I didn't. And 6 years before I was healed, and went through, well, hell. But God healed. Because God told me. I don't avoid all doctors. I go to I have a family doctor. But when God, you need to have the leadership of the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, let God direct you. Because, you see, God wants to move here so that you'll get delivered and so you'll be ready for the hour of testing. Because I really believe that what could have come before Jesus comes is that, well, just think if electrical capacity were knocked out in the United States. I mean, you can't imagine.
No.
I mean, totally. You can't imagine. We've got to be ready for faith to believe for whatever, maybe for food one day. I don't know, but we have got to wake up and be prepared in faith now. I find it's hard for people who have never walked in faith for them to at a time of crisis, then be able to enter into a life of faith. I could tell you some stories. I don't have time to... Because I've got a lot to cover. I may go long tonight. I've got a lot to cover. This is my last session for this. But I must, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, I must cover this overcoming message because it's very important. The enemy doesn't want you to hear it. I am coming quickly, a lot more quickly than you think. Hold fast to what you have. And the only thing you've got is what is eternal in Christ. You don't have anything else. You may think you have it. You don't. Hold fast to what you have. It's in Christ. It's eternal. In order that no one will take your crown. He overcomes. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Hallelujah. And he will not go out from any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God and from my new name. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Listen. You've got to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. And finally, Laodicea. Laodicea. Verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove. So to overcome, he's going to discipline you and reprove you. In fact, the word says at another place that if in Hebrews, if you don't get reproved and disciplined, then you're not loved.
Right.
If you don't reprove and discipline your children, you don't love them. We don't believe that today in America. But it's true. I don't mean beat them. There's a good reason why the back part of us is real well padded. It's hard to get injured. The first year, Ron, that I taught in high school, way back in 1957, shows my age. They had the principal had a paddle. It was about that thick, about that long. We paddled high school students.
Can you imagine? Of course, the younger ones too. I went into this class, and they had taken control of the class, this government class. They had taken control. They went on strike, and the previous teacher didn't know what to do. And they had thrown books out the window one day and almost hit the superintendent. And so he said, "You get control of that class." I got control of that class. I did. I felt like a policeman. That's one of the reasons why I decided not to teach high school. I felt like a policeman. But I got control of the class. I backed a senior against the lockers one day.
Yeah.
And but I got control of the class.
This after your time in the Marine Corps?
Today you couldn't do that. But notice, be zealous. Be zealous. Be zealous. You will not overcome unless you are zealous in the Lord. We are too namby-pamby, laid back. I mean, I don't mean just to get excited emotionally, but I mean when the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and you have something in your spirit, it becomes like iron. And you will stand, and you will what God wills, and nothing will stop you, because the Lord God is in you, and His life is in you, and His life will flow through you. It isn't... See, the Holy Spirit's never produced by emotion. The divine order is always spirit, soul, body. The body controls, you're out of order. But if the soul controls, if your will or your mind or your emotions control, never try to lead people to worship by trying to stir up their emotions. Let the Holy Spirit touch their spirits, and I'll guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit touches your spirit, man, your emotions will be touched, but the right way. The right way. And this is what God wants, to be zealous. Not in emotional sense, although your emotions will be touched, but as the Holy Spirit touches your spirit. Has the Holy Spirit touched your spirit? And you know what I'm talking about. God puts something and you get an excitement that's deep down because you know what God has spoken is true and God is going to do it. And then you believe and you pray and God does it, and there is nothing like it. Because you, as it were, you become a procreator with God. And this is what you were created for. Jesus, as it says earlier in this verse, these verses, he hates lukewarmness. He hates lukewarmness. And most of the church is lukewarm. He hates lukewarmness. Spew it out of her mouth, of his mouth. He'd rather have you cold than lukewarm. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, here's my voice. You got to hear his voice. Open. By the way, this isn't just open to receive Christ. This is open to receive healing. This is open to receive deliverance. This is open to receive whatever God speaks. I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. Hallelujah. And he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame. On the cross, Jesus overcame. He defeated Satan forever and all the demonic spirits. Get it in your spirit, man, because you're attached to him, and Jesus is your head, and you're a part of him, and in him you will overcome. In yourself, you will overcome nothing. In yourself, you will be overcome. But in him, you will overcome. Now, Revelation 12, verse 10. How many times have I quoted it? In this series, probably I've quoted it 20 times. But once more. Once more. Because I'm going to find a divine order here. And we're going to go through that divine order. I think it will take me longer than an hour tonight, but I'm going to go through this because God wants me to. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is
come salvation.
We're going to go over each one of these words later.
And power. And the kingdom of our God. And the authority of His Christ.
Four things. We're going to go back over them here in a moment.
And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them day and night before our God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now those are three weapons. We're going to return to those. But I want to show you about those four things, and I'm going to look at scriptures that have to do with all of the four of those things, because God showed me 20-some years ago when I read this. He spoke to me 20-some years, probably 25 years ago at least. And the Lord said, these four things are the key to overcoming Satan. And Satan cannot stand against these four things. Now, I'm going to change the order. Authority is last there because I think God put it last because that's where we connect into it. We can't connect into the power. We can't connect into His salvation. We can't connect especially into the kingdom itself until we connect first by knowing what authority He has given us and what we are to do with that authority. Authority is delegated power, but true authority is from a legitimate, true source that you can rely on. Well, believe me, the Word of God is the only thing in this world that is totally true and never changes. And brother and sister, you can rely on the Word of God. It is legitimate. If there was anything that was ever legitimate in authority, is what God the Father swore to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, because the Father swore, and when the Father in heaven swears, there is a covenant forever, and it cannot be broken. And Jesus received it, and the Holy Spirit received it. And when you enter in to receive Christ by faith, you enter into that covenant. Now, what this means is, Jesus was given all authority, legitimate coming from the Father, sworn to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, an unbreakable covenant. And you are in that covenant, and you are to keep that covenant. Everything that you receive, all power, all authority, first all authority, then power, then salvation, establishing the kingdom, all of that flows through what God has spoken in the Word, in the authority of the Word. Now, turn with me to Luke 4. Luke 4, because this passage may be one of the most important passages in the entire New Testament. I don't have time, but let me tell you what happened in chapter 3 and early chapter 4. I don't have time to read it. Jesus got baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3. Jesus got baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Down in the water and the Holy Spirit, the dove of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is ministered as a man, and he had to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, and you will never operate in authority without the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God falling on you. Fell on Jesus, and then where did the Holy Spirit take him immediately? To be tested by the devil. If you get anointed and you begin to take authority, you will be tested by the devil. But don't fear. God has to test you so he knows what he can rely on you, whether you will believe, regardless of what the enemy tries to do in your life. Now, this is the background. So Jesus gets baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. The devil tempts him, but verse 13, when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed him until an opportune time.
Satan will just depart for until an opportune time. He's going to try to come back at you, and the more you begin to try to take authority, because he knows you begin to take authority, and Jesus is your authority, and he gives that authority to you because he's your head and you're a part of the body, and you begin to exercise authority based on the Word of God. I mean, this you'll rob from Satan's kingdom, and he is desperate to do something to come at you, and he will come at you any way he can. So the more you are attacked, now it's not that you look for attack. I don't look for attack, but I know how to meet it, and you've got to learn how to meet it, because if you want to be used by the Lord, you're going to be attacked. And the more you learn how to meet it, and the Lord you come through those attacks, the greater God will be able to use you. Some people don't want to risk anything. They will never be used by God much. I'll tell you why I would never do that. Because in the end days, there is such deception, there is such falsehood, there are so many things that are coming, they may fall away. There is a great danger for people who are not in the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, and seeking what God wants. If you don't seek what God wants and be filled in the anointing of the Spirit, you may fall away. I would not risk it. Amen. I would risk everything for Christ.
Absolutely.
Everything for Christ. And Jesus answered, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. He had a great anointing. Did you know that Jesus had greater anointing sometimes than others?
Yeah.
One time he prayed all night, and the anointing of God was upon him. Jesus, this is how he ministers as a man. I mean, I'm not under the same anointing every time I teach or minister. Sometimes there's a greater anointing of the Spirit of God. I believe there's a great anointing of the Spirit of God tonight. And the news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. For a while.
Yeah.
For a while. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And it was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written. Now listen. You want to overcome? You're going to have to learn what it is that Jesus, what ministry has Jesus given everyone. You want to preach the gospel to the kingdom? You want to be sent into the fields that are white unto harvest? Well, it isn't just with some mild message. It is the fullness of the anointing of the Spirit of God and the fullness of the message. And here are the five things that Jesus ministered in, and he wants you to minister in. Now, I know that you won't immediately enter into all these things. You will have to gradually go step by step by step by step, but just keep going, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. I'm walking. I'm up to 72, and I'm still walking. And I'm going to walk till I'm 82 or whenever the Lord has, however long the Lord has me on the earth, I'm going to keep walking. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he keeps strengthening me and keeps anointing me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? You will never overcome if the Spirit of the Lord is not upon you. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Then walk in the Spirit. Seek the anointing. There are many anointings. There's one baptism. If you're not sure you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then ask for prayer. You don't want one aspect. You want everything. Make sure you're entering into everything that God has. Heal the brokenhearted. People are brokenhearted. All over the world, everywhere, Wilmore, everywhere. People are brokenhearted. And God wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants you to be involved. But see, it isn't just commiserating with them and saying, oh, I'm sorry for you. It's praying, knowing how to pray for them. To bring God through the Holy Spirit. Because God heals broken hearts. God heals broken hearts. I don't have time to talk about each one of these. He wants you, second, it says, to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor in spirit. This doesn't mean just poor people that are materially poor. Anyone who knows they are needy, preach to them. If people are arrogant and they think they have everything, give them the gospel and wipe your feet off. And go to someone who knows they have need.
Yeah.
We all are needy, but a lot of people are arrogant and don't want to admit. See, I am. Listen. I don't care how far I've walked, how far you've walked. I am needy. Go to the people who are in need and preach the gospel. This doesn't mean you become a preacher or an evangelist. It means that you witness. That you witness. A witness speaks about those things he has experienced. And when you receive the life of God to be saved, the life of God to be filled with the Spirit, the life of God to be healed, the life of God to be delivered, you experience it and you'll tell about it. But if it's an idea in your head, you may not tell about it at all. If it's a doctrine in your head, if it's some life you've experienced from Christ, you will tell about it. We tell about the things we have experienced. Now, what's the next one? Release to the captives. The word captives there is literally imprisoned. Like in a prison that there are bars where people can't get out. And release of the captives, some people are in demonic prisons. They are in bondage that they can't get out of. And Jesus will set them free. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Jesus will set them free. If they will repent. And if they will receive. Some people won't receive. Some people won't repent. I could tell stories. I don't have time. I got to get this outline. I've still got a ways to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're praising the Lord. Recovery of sight to the blind. He wants to heal physically. He wants to heal people physically. I don't care what your problem is. He wants to heal physically. We don't see much physical healing in America. Much more in foreign countries. Much more. I've seen more in Kazakhstan. When I was there 6 different times. You just see, but people respond more. You know, if you tell them this is the word of God, oh, is this what God said? Here I am. Pray. I'm ready to receive. I've had 75 and 100 people come at one time. That happened in Haiti many years ago. I had so many people in the aisles. They were in. They packed the aisles. They couldn't get around the altar anymore. They just packed the aisles. So we just had to begin to speak in the Spirit and just speak, and then God asked God to move. Because you can't pray over individuals in situations like that. And to set free those who are downtrodden or crushed. So many people are just crushed. Oppression. Oppression, especially over the mind. Depression. Fear. We're a drugged society. We're drugged to drug. We drug our children. ADD, we drug our children. We don't know what to do with them. We can't control them. So we drug our children. Jesus can set them free! Man, I'd like to be able to go out to school and to be able to pray over children. I can't say that everyone would be set free, but I know some would be set free. Because God wants to set them free. He wants to set you free. Luke 10:17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said unto them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven. Do you know, when Lucifer, as an angel of light, when he was over the throne of God and he rebelled, you know, that God threw him out of heaven? Now he still has access to accuse, but he threw him out of heaven. I was watching Satan, like lightning, fall from heaven. Behold, I give you, if you're attached to Jesus, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing indeed shall injure you. Do you believe it? Act on it then. Act on it then. I give you authority over serpents and scorpions. I said last time, Scorpio, the third sign of the original zodiac, not the astrology, but the original zodiac, was an Arabic term which meant great war, conflict between Christ and Satan. But who wins? Christ wins. Christ has won.
You've got to go into this to overcome Satan and demonic forces. You have got to know that you know that you know that the victory is won. It is won, already won. You don't have to win it. You have to participate in the victory that Jesus has won. I don't go into praying with people thinking, well, I don't know whether God wants to heal or I don't know whether God... Of course He wants to heal. Of course He wants to deliver. Their problems, don't have time to go into the problems. I'm trying to challenge you tonight with this message so that you will see that you can overcome, and God wants you to be an overcomer. Behold, I have given you that authority. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. You know, you don't have to rejoice because you have power of the spirits. Just rejoice. Praise God, my name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Your salvation is full and complete. Now, 2 Corinthians 10. I use this all the time. Well, yes, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Are you warring? Are you warring? There's war in the heavenlies. You need to participate. Yes, sir, Lord. I'm ready. I'm reporting for duty. I'm reporting for duty. War in the heavenlies. We don't war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of fortresses. And this is the fortresses over the mind that God wants to deliver people from, and every single human being has been in bondage or is in bondage to things in the mind. These bondages are fear, depression, resentment, hatred, bitterness, all kinds of negative things that get into our minds. Rejection is very powerful. I pray all the time with people who are in great rejection because they have been rejected by their parents. But all kinds of negative things here that people are in bondage to, and Jesus wants to set you free, not just in heaven, but now, right down here now. And the weapons I've already covered, three of them. Remember, we've talked about those. They are the Word of God, the blood, the cross, praise. Praise is a mighty weapon. Learn how to praise Him in all things. The name of Jesus, pray the name of Jesus. By the way, that's Yeshua, which means God is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Binding and loosing. Whatever we bind on the earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on the earth is already loosed in heaven. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, all that's authority. All right, now. All right, you got authority. Now, authority will result, when you take authority and believe and remain, that will release power. Now, this is the way to overcome Satan. That will release power. You cannot overcome Satan first without taking authority. Now, as you take authority in Jesus, and you have the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God, and you act on the Word of God, and no matter what the enemy does, you remain faithful to the Word of God, then the power of God will release the power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You should receive power. You've got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you've got to move. See, why don't we see more miracles? Because we are not anointed at the particular time we're praying with the power of God through the Holy Spirit flowing through us. I wish I could say that every time I pray with people, I'm an anointed and the power is flowing, but it isn't true. Sometimes I see the power flowing. Sometimes I see very little power flowing. But God, we need to seek so that the power will flow, because the power is a key. Now, once authority releases the power of God, that's the dunamis of God, the dynamite of God, then that brings salvation. That's Acts 4. Now, there's the third word, how we overcome Satan. That brings salvation. All right, let's define it by the scriptures here. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. Acts chapter 4 and verse 7.
And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power and what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, notice, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial for the benefit done to the sick man and how he has been made well, that's the man at the gate, beautiful, and they told him to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus, and he rose up and walked. How was he healed or made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, the name of Jesus as a weapon, the name of Jesus as a weapon, it's not abracadabra. It is in the name of Jesus. He represents the power of God. When you pray in the name of Jesus, it's a Jesus is praying. But we don't believe that. It says a Jesus is praying. By this name, this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you and the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation. There's the word. Soteria. And salvation is the same word for being healed physically, to be delivered from demon power, to be filled with the Spirit, to be saved spiritually. It's all one word. And all of the promises of God in the Bible are a part of that salvation. So that salvation is tremendously broad. So authority releases power. Power brings salvation. See, listen, if you're going to preach the kingdom gospel, it isn't merely a proclaiming of the word to lead people to Christ. It is proclaiming of the word of God for every aspect of salvation. That's what the kingdom gospel is. I'm coming to the kingdom part here for the last part of this message in just a moment. Now, that's where I'll go, to the kingdom. So, authority releases power. Power brings the fullness of salvation, and the fullness of salvation does establish the kingdom. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And verse 26. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Satan has a kingdom, God has a kingdom. There was a war between Babylon and Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the kingdom of God. Babylon is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of this world. Right now, there's eternal where there's warfare. Augustine wrote back in the 4th century, the city of God. And the theme of the book is that here is Jerusalem, here is Babylon. And the moment you are born again, you are part of Babylon because you're in the world and in the flesh. But the moment you're born again, you're also in Jerusalem. You're part of the city of God. While you're still down here on the earth, live that way. Live that way. So God wants, well, verse 27, and if by Beelzebul I cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? They accused Jesus of casting out demons by the devil. Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then what? The kingdom has come to you. And when someone is healed, the kingdom has come to you. And someone is saved, the kingdom has come to you. You bring the kingdom. Authority, power, fullness of salvation. You bring the kingdom, and Satan's kingdom is defeated. And he can't do anymore. He can't do anymore. And you have overcome. You have overcome. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. I also say to you, this is Jesus, that you are Peter. This is Petros in the Greek. Small stone. Roman Catholic Church claims Peter and the Pope, that's the authority. No. What wasn't to the Apostle Peter? He was just a stone. He was just a little pebble like we are. And upon this rock, cornerstone, Jesus. The church is built on Jesus. That's why God didn't want Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Presbyterian Church, Catholic Church, because he knew that there would be other authorities, and he wanted Jesus to be the only authority, and you'd operate under that. On this rock, Jesus, I will build my church. And power flows in this true church. And salvation flows in this true church. And this true church establishes the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And Satan do anything about it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 9:35. I'm rapidly coming to the end here. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus was going all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest." But the harvest workers preach the gospel of the kingdom. Authority, power, salvation. Establishing the kingdom. This is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. The life of God flows. And so people are won to the life of God and to the power of God, not to some doctrine. Not to man. But to God himself. You are a representative of God himself, of Jesus himself. Put yourself in the background. Get yourself as low as possible so that Jesus can be raised as high as possible. I couldn't read it, but in Romans 1, it talks about the gospel of the kingdom, and it says you must go from faith to faith, from faith to faith. Initial faith, but then you got to walk in faith, walk in faith, walk in faith, day by day. Walk in faith, walk in faith, walk in faith, walk in faith, walk in faith. How many Christians receive Christ by faith and sit? And then where can you find evidence in their life that they ever walk in faith again? You're going to learn how to walk in faith, not for selfish reasons, but so you can learn how to walk in faith, so by your faith, Jesus can touch other people. You can't be used by God the way he wants unless you learn to walk in faith. Matthew 10:7-8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. This is the gospel of the kingdom. I don't pussyfoot around about it anymore, excuse me, but some people don't like to hear this, but God has commanded us, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. You don't think there are demons around anymore?
No.
Well, just come with me. And if people are not raised from the dead, well, I've not seen it, but it's happening. The Chinese pastor that stood right here, who was sat right there, told us about two examples in two villages that he had been in of people being raised from the dead. I'm going to China. Praise God. I hope that I'll see the power of God released in a great way. Now, the key on this kingdom is the last... A scripture for the kingdom is Matthew 24, because Jesus was speaking about the kingdom and the coming of the kingdom. Now remember, you've got this divine order, authority, power, salvation, kingdom. This is what defeats Satan. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." Great deception is coming. It's already here, but greater and greater deception is coming. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. That's not the end yet. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and the kingdoms here are spiritual kingdoms. The nations are the nations of the world. The kingdoms here are spiritual kingdoms. And in various places, there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, we've seen some of that. But these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. This is just the beginning. This is the beginning. We're not... What has occurred so far is the beginning. Now, the birth pangs are the second birthing of Christ on the earth, is what that birth pangs refers to. Then they will deliver you to tribulation. You are going to be persecuted. I'm not talking about the great tribulation of persecution. I believe that's the only part that we might be raptured out of. But some of this rapture theology is certainly unsound. Some of it is taught as if there is no persecution and everyone will be raptured out before there's any great persecution. There will be persecution. This is Jesus speaking. That's what he tells you. They will kill you. I mean, is that fairly plain? And you will be hated by all nations. Jesus isn't saying, well, unless you might get raptured first. On account of my name, and at that time, many will fall away. Now, that Greek word right there, scandalizo, really means fall away, apostasy, and it's translated offended. That's a weak translation. Fall away. See, we've got some of our Calvinist brethren who teach you can't fall away. Well, Jesus says you can. Paul says you can. In fact, Paul says in Thessalonians that before Jesus comes, many will fall. That the apostasy is coming, and Jesus won't come until the apostasy. And you can't fall away unless you're in Christ. And it will deliver you up to one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because of lawlessness, this is the Greek word anonymia, which means iniquity, sin. I mean, falling away from Christ, sinning against the law of Christ, is increased because most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to every nation as a witness, and then the end will come. Praise God. Do you want to be involved? You want to be involved? I'm going to be involved. I pray that you want to be involved. And everything goes right, I'll be in Haiti in June. I don't know when I'll be in China, but I'm looking forward to it. Now, I was going to spend some time, and I'll only make a comment with one last aspect, because it would take another half hour, and I'm not going to do that. But the Scripture says that we need to guard ourselves. 1 John 5. He that is born of God does not sin, but he that is born of God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. And we need to learn to guard ourselves. Now, this is not out of fear. When I put a seatbelt on in my car, I don't do it because, I'm afraid I'm going to have an accident. I don't intend to have an accident. Haven't had one for 50 years, praise God. Helps my insurance rate. But guard yourself. Now here's it real quick, and I don't have time to really teach this because I think God wants me to bring this to a close. Every morning, I pray over my family. I have authority over my family, and I pray over you people, because when you come to this house, there's a sense in which I have some authority. I've prayed over you. I've prayed for you to be saved or filled with the Spirit or delivered or healed, and so there's a sense. But let's take my family, because I always pray over my family. And I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I use power binding and loosing in the name of Jesus. I bind every... And here I go through what I did at the beginning of this teaching in August. I bind every personal level spirit, every ground level spirit, every occult level spirit, and every cosmic level spirit. Now, I don't have time, but if you get an earlier CD, you'll have the definition of what those are: personal level, ground level, cult level, cosmic level. I bind every oath, every pledge, every curse, every blood oath curse that has been made by people or people in the generations. Then I bind every soulish prayer. A soulish prayer is, and people pray, non-Christians pray. And Christians pray in soulish ways. Soulish prayer is you're praying what you want. You're not praying the will of God. See, the Bible says that he'll hear you if you pray the will of God. And he doesn't want you to say if it's your will. You're supposed to know his will. If you don't know his will, then wait until you know it. His will is in the Word, mostly, but then sometimes he has to speak it. But he says he'll hear you. This is 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we already have the petition desire of him. People don't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray till I got in the Bible. I was in the Methodist Church all my life, and I didn't know how to pray because I followed the patterns of people I heard pray. If you don't pay attention to what the Bible says, maybe next year one of the series I ought to do is prayer. But a soulish prayer is praying your own will. And people will pray soulish prayers over you. And you need to cover yourself with the blood against soulish prayers. And then there are false spiritual prayers. Satanists pray. They fast and pray. You don't think they have any power? Well, they do if you don't understand the protection that Christ gives, and so plead the blood. And then every morning, and I don't have time to teach on this, I put on the armor. Ephesians 6. I literally put on the armor. I gird my loins with truth. I take the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the gospel of peace. I take the shield of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I take the helmet of salvation. I put my hands on my head. I take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of hope. Divine expectation. Eager expectation of what we do not yet see. Protects my mind from the wiles of the enemy. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the only offensive part. The sword of the Spirit of God. And you know the part that that people forget? And boy, this is controversial. But you need it. To pray in the Holy Spirit. To continually pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry for some people who don't like this, but that's praying in tongues. You don't have to. But man, I mean, if you would come around here in the morning, my wife can testify to this. Sometimes they get too loud to close the door over there. I am praying in the Spirit. I prayed for you 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 in the Spirit. Practically everyone, not quite. But most everyone here, a few that I prayed in the Spirit. If your name is on the list, I prayed in the Spirit for you. I don't know how to pray for you every day, and I continue to pray. I pray for, I don't know how many, I don't know how many names I've got. I've got 130 names, I think, on this fellowship list. But I pray for a lot more than that. But I mean, I pray in the Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit.